there are other organizations that claim to represent Jesus, right? Like, that are really good at being the church. However, they've got the wrong Christ. I'm talking about Mormonism. And I think, at least in this body, we've been doing better, at least from the leadership's, you know, standpoint. Like, are we really reaching out? Are we really meeting the needs of the people? Are we really in touch with everybody? And there's a lot of times when me and Natalie talk to each other, you know, at home, trying to wonder, like, is there something we're supposed to be doing that we're not doing? So, if you do have a need ever, let us function as the church with you. Mm-hmm. Any of us. Ryan, Beth, call Andrew, wake him up. Tell him to turn off the computer and pray with you.
Especially when he's been cramming until 2 in the morning.
Yeah, on fake land.
I do occasionally cram.
Because here's what the devil's done a really good job at the churches that do know Jesus. He's done a good job at creating isolation. He's done a good job at creating loneliness. He's done a good job at creating hopelessness. He's done a really good job at creating this sense of nobody understands what I am going through, right? And I talked about that in the sermon I did on suffering recently, that it's just a lie. There's all, like, if God has called you to a ministry of healing and deliverance, do you know what that means? That means you've been healed and delivered from some really horrible things. And now you should be looking for people in your life or in your environment that are going through horrible things that you could be an encouragement to. It's not always this big flash bang in a pan, head spinning around, vomiting all over the room. Sometimes it's just one nice thing that you can say to somebody that you didn't have to say that could change the rest of their life. Because that's what happened to me. I've said that here too. You know, we're going to have opportunities every single day, everywhere we go, to be the church for a broken and distraught world. And there's also this other lie when it comes to evangelism. It's, I don't know enough about the Bible yet. I'm not ready yet. I might fail. And then this other lie that says is, these people really just don't want Jesus right now anyway. But guess what? The Bible says through Jesus' own mouth that the harvest is plenteous. But where's my workers? The laborers are few.
It isn't the worker that's doing the work.
It's not. But somebody's got to be willing to step out there and exactly. Say, God, I trust you. Help me show somebody Jesus today.
It's not about our ability. It's about our availability.
That's good.
Well, it's not just that. It's also a willingness to be able to preach and teach to others that need it.
Because you know what? You don't have to know what the book of Obadiah says to be kind to somebody. So thank you, Kelly, for teaching us about the book of Obadiah. You don't have to know what the book of Revelation says to make someone feel better who's had a really crappy day or a crappy life up to that point. Pardon the word crappy. We've got some people in here that are widowers. Some of the widowers in here are still in the midst of the turmoil that comes with. But that can be a tool that God has equipped you with to build up someone else who's lost a loved one. Because we've also got parents in this room that have less children than they did. We have other people in this room, and I've fallen into this box before, that just get too comfortable and think nothing's going to happen. Because my life's pretty good all the time. Just got to be careful. We got to be the church. How do you be the church? I mean, seek God, seek Him first. Get up in the morning. If you oversleep, at least take time in your car on the way to work to shut off all the noise in that car and to just invite Holy Spirit into that vehicle with you. You don't have to say anything. Just be there. He's waiting for us to invite Him. Then when you get to work, don't turn that switch off, because He can go to your office with you. I've had some of the most effective personal prayer for myself in my times of despair that I have had in my office with my door shut on my knees while people outside are having a meeting. And it's also really good to once in a while hear people's testimonies of hope in God. I need that. I need to hear Kathy and Tim's story of being freed from some horrible things. And I need to come in here and see Kathy praising and worshiping God without any regard for her, how she looks in the room. That gets me pumped up when I'm up here playing guitar and I see Kathy just fanning the whole room down. Right? We don't need ceiling fans, we got Kathy. That encourages me. What kind of things encourage you? If anybody wants to volunteer, let me know. What encourages you besides video games?
I say my motivation to be the first one in my family to have a full college or a four-year college degree, but also to be able to help provide and allow my mom to finally be able to retire and be able to relax in her life while I help do the role that she's done for a very long time, which is provide the money and be the provider for the household. So, that's my motivation, is the encouragement of others, but also my desire to complete college. And
so where do you think Jesus fits in all that?
I feel like he's motivating me, but he's also there in tough times when I feel like I'm stressed, so I feel like he's there with me saying, don't give up, you know, believe in you know, the Lord, believe in the word of the Lord, but also don't let, you know, these bad thoughts get to you. Don't let these deep, these unmotivating thoughts, like, stop you from doing what you're doing.
You know what you call, like, a plumber who takes every single day that he works and works as if he's doing it directly for God? You call him successful. You want to glorify, you want to encourage, you want to fit God into that equation? Here's a tip. Every test that you know you have coming up, pretend Jesus is your teacher. And you can't fail. Every time your mom goes to work, make sure that you and God are like this, so that she's not doing all that for nothing.
Yes, sir.
Right? Sylvia, what encourages you in your faith? What gets you pumped up when you see it? Like I said, when I like hear other people, like, you know, God is so good and here's why, and like it jolts me out of my own little like circle of myself, because I'm a selfish person. I'll tell you right now.
Watching someone else get excited about God, say, getting healed, getting in my family that wasn't into God.
It pumps you up.
I'm sorry?
It pumps you up.
It does. And call me crazy, but I talk to God all the time.
Tim warned us about calling you crazy.
Just don't call her short.
But I talk to God all the time, like He's right here with me. Because He is. I may not be able to see Him, but He's right beside me. He knows my good and my bad and my weaknesses, and He's like my best friend. I'm with Him all the time. And it just, when He talks back to me, gets me so excited and pumped up.
Mark, what gets you pumped up in your faith?
Praying every night.
39.
Not 29?
It's always 30. It's always
30. Anybody else want to share what gets them excited and like really encourages them? And like, what you got?
I get really excited when I see other... So everyone here that knows me knows my heart's desires for my children to come to the Lord and give their life to Him and serve Him. So when I see other parents pray for their children and then see the fruit of it and see those children get on their knees at an altar, like, that to me is the highlight of that builds my faith up so much. I say, if God can do it for them, He can do it for me.
For anybody.
And my children. Mm-hmm. Like, so it just gives me hope, I guess, in that.
Howard on. Bluetooth. Harry.
We're going to get a better speaker, sorry.
One of the things that pumps me up is bringing God into a situation where He wasn't acknowledged before. There may have been negativity going on, and bring God into it. And you can watch the whole thing change.
Yes.
Talking about your negativity or a situation around you?
Situation. Walk into a situation and people recognize the God within you, and it changes the conversation, the attitude. And if they don't recognize it, I can say a word that will make it happen. You know, Jesus, and the whole situation changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nathan, you with us? You got anything that encourages you, buddy?
You have anything, Nathan, that gets you excited about God? Encourages you?
One of my frequent prayers with the Lord is to let me see other people the way He sees them. Let me love other people the way He loves them. And, I mean, if you pray for that, He will show you the way He sees and loves other people. And that includes you. And so, I don't know how to express to all of you how much God loves you. But that's just so, that just builds me up when I see other people the way God sees them.
So I've seen that in glimpses before. I need to get consistent with it, right? Like a lot of us need to get consistent with things. But the times that I have been able to see people through God's eyes, it's broken my heart for how I've been looking at them.
But that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
It causes change. I ask all the time for Jesus to let the Holy Spirit show me how to love with the love that He has.
Beth, did you read your hand?
I'm trying to think about how to say it. Sometimes you know things better than you can verbalize them, but I feel like, it's always this way, but when I was going through seasons of intense suffering in my life, suffering feels like a vortex. It just sucks you in, and it just gets in really dark places and that you feel like you can't get out of. And I have found that the best way to, like, and that always kept me in a, like, or could bring me back to a level head or bring me further back up is, and people used to hesitate telling me things because I'm like, well, your situation's worse than mine, but that actually encouraged me, because if I could hear what was going on with someone else, it kept me from getting out of that isolated mind frame and just staying stuck in what's like going on with just me, and it helped me see what's going on with them, and then, you know, seeing their outcome of like maybe something ending well or a prayer answered, then it could be a good thing going on in their life, or it could be something negative going on in their life. But like when I was sick for 7 years. So, I mean, if they're going through something a few months, I get to see this like hope. I can hold on to a hope that, okay, there is going to be an end. So even if it's suffering, you never know how long suffering could be, but seeing that theirs would end and seeing the positive to it helped me be like, okay, it kind of like revigored my hope and things like that, but it helped me pull me back out of vortexes.
That showed me something last night I want to share with people with that. When you look at the five I wills in Isaiah, it was all about Satan trying to elevate himself above the Lord. When we do something and we take offense, when we do something and feel that we're being targeted, we're doing the same thing Satan is doing. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. It's still that same spiritual warfare of Satan trying to elevate himself and get us to look at what he's doing rather than what Jesus is doing. And I've never really seen it that way before, but it's all about Jesus. If you try to bring Jesus to somebody and they reject it, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. And when we try to feel like we're being targeted, that's selfish as heck. It's not about us. It's Satan trying to elevate himself above Jesus and take our focus and put it on him and what he's doing rather than what Jesus is doing.
It's really close.
Oh, he's excellent at it. He can do it minute after minute. You can denounce him 1 minute, he pulls you in another way.
Anybody else?
I just want to say that, well, just, I kind of have to pair with what Beth kind of said. I just want to be inspired to just drive myself to be just the best person I can and just share my love with the world. But, you know, the world that's very untrusting and very hard, you know, not so many people want to, you know, share that love with each other. It's difficult.
A lot more than you think.
I would say there's a lot more out there than maybe you know about that are desperate.
All you can do is just be the best person.
Just move for the love of God.
You just have to love the people close to you. Say, I love you.
Yes.
Please look at Natalie, Beth, or Ryan. And then we'll...